Welcome to Chippy Chappy Sports. You're with the brothers Timms, which means that joining me once again is none other than Okarakiosis of
Timms.
Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you, Damien. Bit of a hangover today?
No.
Are you?
No.
Yeah, you're hearing a bit of a hangover in your voice, like you got into a few beers after work yesterday.
No, I actually didn't sleep very well. I seem to have some tendonitis in the knee. It's not too good. Anyway, so no hangover as such. But
that's interesting. But I hear you've got a good lunch coming up today. Going out to get some good tucker.
Got to have a good feed.
Yeah, just get a feed. Get to a overpriced restaurant and have a feed.
Yeah, it's great. Just a $35 schnitzel.
$35 schnitzel. These sort of $58 pork dish. It's just like it's pork. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, this is to share for one.
Food comes out when it's ready. Everything is designed to be shared. We recommend, if you're hungry, getting two of the small plates and maybe two of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A couple of sides and that'll be
and there you go,
$400. Hey, cost of living pressures. It's an outrage. It's an outrage.
That's very true.
Look, before we move on to the cricket, we obviously have to deal with some listener feedback.
Oh yeah, that's important. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah, that comes from none other than J.S. O'Leary. All the way from North London.
Interesting.
Who's taken exception to the Australian pronunciation of the word, and I'll spell it, F-U-R-O-R-E.
Which I would pronounce as furore.
He says amongst, and this is obviously a very limited circle of North London barristers, so take from that what you will, that they all pronounce it in a way similar to Piers Morgan, i.e. furore.
And why is he taking issue with this? Mate, just give us the background to this.
Well, he thinks it's like this weird Australian thing that we that Australians sort of need to pronounce things.
Yeah, but why has he brought this? Why has he brought this to us specifically?
Well, because of the tweet.
There we go. The tweet. Tell us about the tweet.
On the official Tippy Tappy Sports X account.
98 followers and counting.
Where you obviously, you sought to bait Piers Morgan when he was talking about the Johnny Bairstow incident, because he referred to it as a furore.
Furore, yeah. And I thought maybe if I made fun of his pronunciation, we might get a response out of him and that might boost engagement. We could build up the following and we'll be sitting right now with a deal from Barstool Sports or SEN, or not SEN now that they've sort of gone tits up, haven't they? But
The Athletic.
The Athletic, maybe even The Guardian. We'd have to settle for less money for that one, of course. But, he didn't take the bait. And instead we got Sam O'Leary, who in many ways is the sort of the North London equivalent of Piers Morgan.
The same strange pronunciation of things.
He is Inner Temple's answer to Piers Morgan. I don't know. Is he at Inner Temple? Which one is he at? But
Inns of Court, whatever.
Yeah, Inns of Court. There we go.
I mean, that might not even be right. But I mean, who cares? Like, whatever.
Let's just say
five Wentworth. How's that?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, none of them are as good as Banco.
Oh, got to get the
Banco Chambers. Absolutely wonderful. The quality of the advice that they provide is just absurd. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Sam.
But what was interesting, though, is I cross-checked this with two English people, born and bred English people.
Yeah.
Ari Sargent and Paul, Sangari.
Mm-hmm.
And the collective collective response from them was that sounds like this sort of this weird upper middle class thing, and it's a way of pronouncing the word that would be sort of used by wankers. So,
right. Well, I don't deny that, like, Sam's right about this, but it does seem surprising, you know, and wrong. But I mean, who are we to police pronunciation? People can call it, instead of calling it meat, call it meat. If you want, who cares?
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, you might as well extend that to a whole bunch of other English words that end in E. I mean, why stop it? Why stop at funeral?
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't say, you know, yeah, say provolone instead of provolone, which is the way it's supposed to be pronounced.
Don't say abuse, say abuse.
Yeah, there we go. You know, there we go.
So many possibilities.
Yeah, bloody Jeff Lemon and Collar have spent 5 minutes on pronunciation at the start of their latest podcast.
Look, I mean, it's a change of pace from talking about Paul Rifle.
Hey!
There we go. There we go. Now, look, let's move on to the cricket because...
Let's move on to serious business now.
With Frank Palumbo. The serious business of the cricket. We've had the semi-finals. You know, both games were probably more tense than people were expecting. I'm not sure how much of both semi-finals you watched. But I can tell you I watched exactly half of both. Obviously, highlights doesn't count, but in terms of watching it live,
That's good. Well, because I would have picked up the back end. I would have picked up the second innings of each of them.
Yeah, it's a real follow.
So we've got it covered.
Yeah,
we've got it covered. Exactly. That's what teamwork in podcasts look like. You know, watch half of the thing that you're supposed to be talking about that the podcast is all about.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch the whole thing.
It's good.
Yeah. So you know, we'll cover India and New Zealand first. Well, that was totally unsurprising, but I guess it was a little bit closer than people might have been expecting. Maybe.
Who I think cares, so. Ultimately? I mean, it's like, oh, this heroic effort from Darryl Conway. I mean, what a boring Anglo name that is.
Yeah. That's a classic sort of South Island Anglo.
That's right. Just this laid back, relaxed kind of. Yeah.
No, we can do that. We'll get some sushi and some sushi. So that was good. But well, what about Australia?
What about Australia? They looked as though they had it all wrapped up at 4 for 44. And then the rain came.
Yeah. Well, but they handled it all, you know, pretty well, I think. I mean, the opening spell was really what won it. For a good toss to lose, as they say. That opening spell, you know, Stark sort of finally came good.
Yeah.
And Hazelwood also bowled very well. You know, that's basically what we need against India. But we can come to that in a bit. I mean, what else was good about it? Well, Maxwell, I think, getting out, sort of going for the big woofter. From 201 to 1, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Also the bowling effort from Travis Head. And,
Travis Head, yeah.
You know, a great bit of captaincy. Yeah, the send-offs,
the little flick to Heinrich Klassen. And then, you know, so definitely not descended from Nazis, but his bowling generally, and his whole demeanor, and also the way that he came out and batted, of course.
Yeah.
He's just a classic bloody Aussie, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good to see that his moustache hair sort of really suffers in the humidity.
Yeah, it's kind of the noticeable droop.
Yeah, yeah. It was going a bit everywhere during the bowling, and then some strong droopage while he was batting.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was actually interesting that Cummins went to head in order to break the deadlock, because obviously Zampa has not sort of bowled well. He started the tournament well, and now he's it's like it's all gotten too much for him.
Well, he had a good match sort of 2-3 matches ago, didn't he? He was man of the match with his
bowling and
handy batting as well. But yeah, they're sort of still, even though it's kind of like what we've been saying all tournament, you know, someone does really well and then it kind of makes up for the fact that, you know, two or three other important bowlers or batters or whatever are having a bad match. And that seems to have been the case here as well, you know?
Yeah. So,
but I mean, Travis Head, if Travis Head did not exist, Australian cricket would have to invent him. You know, he's just got the, write that down, put that in your bloody Guardian column, mate.
Tweet that.
Yeah. Just the sort of, the nuggety physique, the sort of Alan Border-esque stance. I mean, he doesn't quite have the squat sort of before he actually makes the stroke, makes the shot. But in other ways, he seems quite similar, doesn't he? He's got that grit. It's sort of Aussie grit.
Yeah, it's true grit. He's all gritted up.
He's all grit and niggle.
Yeah.
Niggle.
So what do you think this means for the final? I mean, India obviously look like something of a juggernaut, but I mean, everyone's about how good Kohli is. It's like, you know, I mean, you've criticized batters for only having a strike rate of like close to 100 or whatever. And that's kind of strike rates are at what, like 90, well, early 90s or whatever. But his average now for the tournament is, what is it, like 106 or something like that? So,
yeah. No, he's having a good one. But also, it's kind of like, people like, a few years ago, we were writing Kohli off, you know, because his test form has obviously gone down the toilet. And it's like, well, okay. So he's had a good one-day World Cup at the start of this tournament. We're all talking about how one-day cricket's dead and this is going to be the last ever World Cup. I mean, I don't know that this sort of, you know, it's been a good tournament. It's been fun. It's great to see, you know, India just take control of the sport, both administratively and on the field. But, you know, I'm not sure that, I mean, do we really, when you think about like Ricky Ponting's career, do you really sort of get that excited about his sort of 2003 World Cup? Or when you think about Adam Gilchrist, are you talking about what he did in the 2007 World Cup? I don't know. I think there's still like a test bias when we evaluate these players. So yes, he's had a very good World Cup, and so has Rohit, who I think is striking at sort of 130 or something. So maybe that sort of makes up for some of the, I mean, Kohli's basically there, you know, he's sort of mirror image of sort of a Steve Smith, right? He's kind of the anchor.
Yeah.
He just seems to be having, he just seems to be doing a much better job of it.
Yeah.
Do I think they're a juggernaut? Kind of. Like, I think we're going to get smacked.
Get rolled. I mean, obviously the Indian player we haven't sort of spoken about a whole lot is Shami. Shamashi taking 7-4 in the semi-final. It's like obviously people always talking about it. It's all bloody Bumrah. Yeah. Bumrah's the man. He's had a quiet tournament. Like, he hasn't. Yes. It's very much been the Shami show.
Yeah, Shamashi. Tell us more about Shamashi. Because I mean, that comes back to our earlier theme of players being fundamentally Greek.
Yeah,
I think it's Shami, because he does look a bit like just an old Greek guy.
Yeah, it's like he should be running a Kafanio in Athens or something like that. Like, yeah, that's just sitting there complaining about migrants.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I spoke to my ex-wife. you know, yeah. Well, he's what can we say about him? He's very good. That would be my opening suggestion to you.
He's fast.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's relentless.
He bowls good.
Makes you play? Question mark.
Good pace. Movement off the ball. Movement off the seam. Whatever. He's been magnificent. You know,
yeah.
and
yeah, he has been.
And I mean, Adam Zampa, what I sort of brought this out the other day. Ozampas, the piece in ESPN Crick Info, which was kind of a bit of a neg on him by the to judge by the headline. It was Adam Zampa, the self-aware non-alpha on top of his game. And the opening was like the opening to this piece. I mean, I always read these things, you know, with a professional eye, as someone who is who does make his gagne-pain from writing. I wonder how Leary pronounces that. Gagne-pain or something. The opening to this piece is like it's like something that, you know, the trainer would say at a boot camp for incels. This is how the piece starts. What are you made of? How will you come back from a blow? You just gonna hunker down here? Or are you gonna come back hard as they are coming at you? And then it just segues into a story about Adam Zampa for some reason.
Yeah.
That's
Australian journalism. Right.
Yeah, no, it's good. Well, I think that was actually written by a Sri Lankan or something. But yeah, no, that's good stuff. I mean, so Zampa, who else? So Shami was very good for the Indians. You know, who was
good? Shubman Gill. I mean, they all batted well, right? Like
good bat. Who was good for us? Like Travis Head, obviously, Stark and Hazelwood. And then the death batting, Josh Inglis actually batted pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
And they both, like him, Smith and Inglis, both got out to these sort of big, well, it was more like Maxwell and Smith both got out to those big swipes, which, you know, they didn't need to do. So it probably didn't need to be as close as it was, but it was very tense. And as I said, over text message to you, and I think I got a ha-ha response to this. It's important that South Africa lose in the most excruciating conditions imaginable. Like that's what we want to see. It wouldn't have been satisfying if South Africa had, you know, if South Africa had been thrashed. We needed them to get close and to sort of taste getting to the final for the first time, and then to have it snatched away by, you know, Mitchell Stark and Pat Cummins, who have not been batting particularly well, but have actually been quite good in this World Cup. So that was wonderful to see, and we hope for more of that from South Africa over the years to come. Yes. Actually, the other player who I was very impressed by, the South African player, was Gerald Coetzee.
Literary
family. My uncle's in Adelaide, actually. But
he thought it was a disgrace.
Yeah, there we go. He was, yeah, he's good. He's got the headband, the floppy hair, and he was running in and bowling quick. He was getting up into the mid 140s, and I think he's only sort of 22, 23 or something. Yeah. He actually was playing at Major League Cricket as well, and don't remember anything about his performances there, but important to note that I did go to that tournament in the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex.
Wow.
So yeah, so they were all pretty good, and now we can move on, of course, to talking about the final.
About the final. Look, I am curious to know your thoughts on the location of the final. I mean, the fact that it's being played in, you know, Ahmedabad in the Narendra Modi Stadium. And we actually haven't spoken about the fact that it's called Narendra Modi Stadium. I mean, it's like sort of Pat Hills having the SCG kind of named after him. This idea of administrators, or indeed, you know, strongmen building enormous stadiums and then naming it after themselves, but also putting it in, frankly, what is a second or third tier city in India, and kind of moving cricket, you know, to their original province is quite odd. It's very strange. Well, it's like, you know,
well, actually, there was a great piece in Caravan magazine, the New Yorker of India, and I didn't get beyond the second paragraph because I hit the paywall, but it seemed like it was really good and might have been able to answer some of the questions that you're addressing here, namely this nexus between sort of politics and the BCCI.
Yeah.
And, you know, how kind of the BCCI and the BJP, or you know, whatever the name of the party is that Modi's in, the BJP have sort of, you know, used each other to kind of bolster their own, to sort of boost their own profiles and to kind of achieve their own ends. So Jay Shah, the head of the BCCI, is apparently a big, big Modi guy. And he, you know, has sort of been, you know, a great partner for Modi, I think, in kind of using cricket to sort of further his own political ends. And of course that's helped the BCCI in turn as well. And that's, you know, that's just the world that we live in now, I guess, where the BCCI sort of moves things around, you know, kicks Sri Lanka out of cricket, says that Pakistan series can't go ahead because, you know, it's not safe enough there. They just sort of just call the shots now. And so,
Where's the ICC in all of this? Because this is an ICC tournament, right? Like it's not.
Yeah,
it's
I know, but it's like the ICC doesn't have any of the power. The power is all with India, so we just got to do whatever India says now. And you know, in many ways, it's all set up for Australia to snatch a devastating victory from, you know, the sort of the procession that has been set up for the Indian team.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very poetic. It would be very nice because ultimately, you know, you can't as much doctoring of the pitch as there invariably will be, or sort of, you know, active selection of the strip as indeed there was in the semi final.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be great, and if it'd be great for someone like sort of Steve Smith who comes good and is the one who has this innings. Yeah.
Well, so what have people been saying about the pitch? Because I mean, from India's perspective, I think it's kind of difficult to know what kind of pitch to prepare. Their best bowler in the tournament has been Shami, and yes, they've got, you know, great spinners, of course. But I mean, Australia's spinners are kind of unpredictable. Like, I mean, you saw how much the ball was turning for the semi. It was like ridiculous. And so to have kind of throw Zampa, Travis Head and Steve Smith, or potentially even Marnus or someone,
Glenn Maxwell
into bowl, like that's, I'm not sure that you necessarily want to invite that if you're India.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You've spent some time as a cricket administrator in India, Damien. What's your take on this? What would you do if you're in the in the Indian team / BCCI / BJP, you know, industrial complex, and had the power to make decisions about this?
I'd probably just kick back and have a cup of tea, sit in the grandstand, and you know, get
some onion bhajis
out of the banmari.
The banmari food. We've spoken about this before, of course, with the banmari food at whatever the stadium is called where the Major League Cricket thing was played.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. We'll get some vision up in the tweets, in the Instagram posts, in the sort of social media blitz that is going to accompany the release of this World Cup final preview episode.
But we'll get up the some food, vision. The food in the banmari at the Visakhapatnam Stadium was appalling. And it really didn't look great. It was quite unappetizing. So you know, I just sat in the press, the just press box, just feeling hungry and drinking tea until they obviously realized that I didn't have media credentials, and then they kicked me out.
Well, so you just walked in and sat down and started drinking because you know you've got the prestige and respect of the white man of your race behind you.
That's right. You know, I mean, I shook hands with Ravi Shastri. That was good. He didn't really know who I was, which comes as no great surprise.
it's like, don't you know who I am?
Yeah, come on.
What was Nikos doing during this whole episode?
Nikos, I think, was just sort of taking his pants off in the stadium to just get the crowd going.
This is when he was down, sort of, you know, negging. When he was down negging the crowd. When he was needling the crowd with his nudity. So what do you think they what do you think they'll do? I mean, there's I'm sure there's been a lot of discussion about this in stories and whatnot, but I've been too busy watching Nick Kyrgios commentate the ATP finals, so
Wow.
I haven't actually been able
Tell
to
us about
play.
that.
Yes, well, I actually have a piece out today in The Guardian, and I encourage all our listeners to go Google that up and just Google and gobble, just Google and gobble it up. But I'm sure there have been stories about it, but have you heard anything about
So,
that?
no, like I actually haven't seen a whole lot in terms of, because it's an article which almost writes itself. And so, India is going to doctor the pitch, or the team is going to, have an unnecessarily heavy influence on how the pitch is prepared. But I think, coming back to your original point around the cricket, like what kind of pitch do they prepare? I guess, I mean, I'm sure they'll say that it's one that plays, fair and true. It's like they always say, oh, there's a bit in it for the pace bowlers. It might slow up a bit later on in the innings.
It's just a series of cliches. That's
Cliches,
what they're preparing is the pitch. Just lay down some cliches on the deck, and there you go, pitch ready.
have a good time.
I mean, I do think that we're in kind of the perfect position, because I didn't really expect us to make the final. Now we're in the final, and it's kind of like it's a free hit. It's the power play. It's the free hit. Mitchell
It's the
Starc
last.
got bowled off the free hit, but so it's kind of like no one's expecting us to win. If we lose, then we lose against what I think will be classified as one of the great one day teams of all time. If we win, then just nude up and start dancing up and sort of jumping up and down in the dressing room, and sort of Mitchell Starc sort of dancing, Marcus Stoinis dancing,
Acting like a tit.
And sort of putting the beers over each other and whatnot. So I think it's a good position to be in. In some respects, it actually reminds me of 1996, because in that tournament, Sri Lanka at that point had sort of brought in the revolution of fast scoring at the start of the innings, and everyone kind of thought that they were the team to beat, or sort of the team that came into the tournament with the most authority or something, just because they'd changed the game so much in the course of a few years. So when we went into the final there, that was sort of Mark Waugh scored a lot of our runs in that tournament. I remember thinking, putting myself back into the mind of Aaron Timms in 1996. I remember having a lot of deep thoughts about that tournament and that final, and I just thought, well, whatever happens here happens, and we're just happy to be in the final.
Oh.
And we lost that final, of course, but we went on to win three in a row. So maybe that's what will happen here.
Could be the start of something. Could be.
Well, and the other thing, is of course that the last couple of World Cups, the most dominant team, the team that's obviously the best, has won. So I feel like that pattern's probably going to repeat itself here. 2015, Australia was obviously the best team. 2019, I think, as much as it pains me to say it, England was the best team. There's no question that India has just dominated this tournament.
Yeah, but if you extend that, say like 2011,
Yeah, don't remember that one, because we got done in the quarterfinals, so stop paying attention. But 2007, dominant. Australia, dominant, won all the matches, won the tournament. 2003, dominant, won all the matches, won the tournament. 1999, dominant through mental disintegration, won the tournament.
96, 92.
96, 92, Pakistan, dominant.
Were they
Well,
dominant?
92 was one of those weird sort of formats where we sort of felt like we played 100 games in the group stage, and Australia sort of lost those early, like lost against South Africa in the first match, right? So, kind of the air sort of fizzed out of the balloon at that point, and it didn't feel like much of a, especially the home World Cup, and we got all these great players now, we're gonna win,
We
and
were
sort
the defending
of,
champions, blah blah blah,
yeah. Exactly.
all this kind of crap.
Exactly. 87. What were you doing for the 87 World Cup? You would have been would have
I
been a
don't
way.
actually remember. I mean, they weren't even wearing one
Yeah,
day
they're in the whites.
kits.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were in the whites.
They're in the whites. They're in the
The
whites with the bucket hats.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, Jack Russell still playing?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so I don't really remember that. But from what I've read, I think like it was a very tense semi-final that Australia won before going on. And so even in the final, like, you know, we were not in a good position, but I think England sort of crumbled. But
Yeah.
anyway, I mean, interesting how it went from like 87 to then there was a 5-year gap. There wasn't a tournament until like 1992, and then 96, and then
Yeah,
99.
why was that? Because of South Africa maybe coming back into the sport. I think they delayed it to
Oh,
let
did they?
South Africa have some hit outs maybe. I don't know. Like, that's my conjecture. You
Maybe.
know, absolutely no evidence to support that, but South Africa came back into the sport in 91, so
Yeah.
to throw them directly into a World Cup might have been a bit cruel. And of course, that South African side in the 1990s was extremely good.
Yeah.
You know, they felt like at times it felt like they were much better than Australia. And they obviously should have beaten us in the semi-final in 99, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're all familiar with the history, aren't we?
Two
How do
hundred and
you
thirteen.
There we go. Yeah, the score that none of us remembered until the other day. But what about sort of some selection issues? I think, how do you feel about sort of Stoinis coming in? Because I feel like, you know, actually, full disclosure, I actually stole this point off Doug Thompson. But
Oh.
thanks to this one, Doug. Tamo. You know, it feels like, you know, to go in with both Smith and Marnus as kind of these relatively slow scoring, you know, middle order accumulators, is not really going to serve us very well. I think we need to basically just bank on Maxwell and Stoinis, or one of them, doing some explosive hitting, you know, because that seems like the only way to get anything happening against the Indian attack. You know, we basically just have to smash the ball. We have to go out and smash it, you know, otherwise it's not like we're not going to sort of block our way to victory or sort
No, no,
of
no, no.
nudge our way to victory against India. I feel like we have to have as many explosive, aggressive, just exploding out of all of their orifices batsmen.
So
Just diarrhea everywhere.
just all the chasms, just, you
Yeah.
know, just yeah, bodily disintegration.
Yeah.
I guess that in some respects it turns on whether we end up batting first, or not, because
Yeah.
I mean, India seems very good at chasing regardless. It'd
Well,
be
they yeah. Well, they're good at everything, right? Like, they're good in any sort of match scenario, unlike the South Africans. So I just don't know that, like, saying, well, if we bat first, then, you know, maybe we can have, you know, two sort of grinders or accumulators or whatever we're calling them in the middle order to sort of get us to, you know, 320 or something, 280 or something like that.
It's
I just think we've got
competitive.
to go out and smash it. We either score like over 400 or we just go out and get done for 100. And who cares?
Yeah,
We had a
yeah,
crack. That's the
yeah.
bloody Aussie way, mate.
It's the Ange Postecoglou way. It's the high line. Just, you know.
You
Couldn't
know,
really hear
so
that. I couldn't really hear that. I'm not sure what happened to your audio, but it sounded like a.
well, the problem is, I put when I do the Postecoglou impersonation, which of course is you know, world famous now, I have to do it with the rubbing of the face, because that's what he does in all the press conferences, and it actually
Yes.
ends up interfering with the audio. So we've got to figure out a way to optimize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so I think we just got to, you know, ditch Marnus and get Stoin in there.
So you would take Marnus over Stoin,
No,
Marnus over Smith.
no, I'd say keep Smith, because I think Smith is better at playing that role.
Oh,
Get rid of Marnus and play
right.
Stoinis instead. And I mean, ultimately, if they bat first, it really just does, I think it comes down to the first four overs. If we don't have a wicket or two after four overs, it's basically over.
Yeah,
because they'll be scoring so quickly, and it'll be it'll be like, oh, we got, yeah, no, they're 2 for 90 or something. I don't think that's really going to serve us very well because they've just got so many weapons throughout the batting order.
You've got to get Shubman Gill out. You've got to get Rohit Sharma out. You've got to get obviously Kohli, get him out. The other
got to get them all out. Ultimately,
Shreyas Iyer. Well, I mean, obviously, if they don't get the runs, then they just kind of sit there.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
And noodle the ball around, but just
nudge and noodle.
Yeah. So
nudge and noodle could be a good name for this podcast as well, actually.
Yeah.
Now that pickup.com has been tried and discarded.
Well, what happened to trundlers.com?
No, trundlers.com. Yeah, trundlers.com could be good.
I thought it was like forwarded trundlers. Many times.
Yeah, forwarded many times. Trundlers.com. Trundlers.co.com.au.
.ca.
what's the salary one? Anyway, so good, great final. Looking forward to it. And of course, we love the graphic that they put up for the final on the broadcast that I was watching, where they had sort of Rohit and Pat Cummins with sort of, grand finale underneath, and Pat Cummins was sort of painted. It was like a painted thing. He was painted to look Indian, which is cool, I think. But he had sort of brown face subjected onto him. Good joke to finish up with. Good stuff, Timsy.
Well, maybe he's got a career. Maybe, post-cricket career. He can
possibly. Yeah.
He can assume the Brett Lee sort of pseudo Bollywood star role.
Assume the position.
Maybe he wouldn't want to do that thing. I mean, I can't imagine him sort of doing the silly dancing. He doesn't sort of seem to do that on social media. He seems like far too straight to do that.
Yeah, too straight laced. He doesn't have that fun-loving gene. That inner child is just not yearning to break free for Pat Cummins. He'd probably go more into the sort of funds management. Maybe I could see him maybe doing sort of Steve Smith style, mattresses and oat milks and whatnot. He'd probably more of a George Gregan sort of cafe chain kind of thing.
Oh no! I don't think retail is Cummins' bag. I think he'd go down the Steve Smith route, but it would be, he'd sort of pile more into the fintech or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Damien Martin's a big crypto guy, isn't he? I don't think he's very successful, but he
very good at torching money.
He's very good at posting about crypto and how he does a lot of, like, Damien Martin is probably the greatest proponent of the sort of passive aggressive cry laugh emoji in sort of the world of Australian cricket. Like, he does a lot of, it's not like you could have sought the advice of elite former players. Cry laugh emoji. It's like he's very sore about the fact that he hasn't been included in sort of the coaching ranks or the selection ranks or sort of the whole kind of bag of
administration
of Australian cricket administration of Australian cricket today.
Well, they should get together with Michael Bevan and they can complain about.
Yeah, exactly. It's Bevo and Marto are the two great sort of. What about us guys? Like, you? No, well, we can do it. We'll coach.
Hang on a sec.
It's great stuff. But where are you going to be watching the final, Damien?
I'll probably just like be lying on my bed looking at the phone.
Yeah, just sort of in the middle of the night with sort of just the blue light of the iPhone destroying your circadian rhythms.
Yeah,
that's great.
then turn up to work and like not really do anything.
Yeah.
What about you? Where will you be watching it?
Well, probably like sort of, standing out in the kitchen sort of early in the morning because, it starts at 3:30 a.m. So maybe like go to the toilet and then sort of come out and sort of just stand in the kitchen in the dark and have it on my phone. And then sort of get up earlier and maybe watch sort of from the middle of the sort of towards the end of the first innings onwards, sort of have that on the phone, then eventually go back to the kitchen once the sun has risen and turn it on. Oh, actually, no, I can't. Well, I can't watch it on my phone. This is the thing. It's like, it's on ESPN Plus here.
Right.
And ESPN Plus, for some reason, is only available on through the TV app. So I haven't been able to watch any of these matches on my phone. I've only been able to watch them on the TV. So I've got to be physically in front of the TV, which is, you know, a little bit annoying. But hey, that's late capitalism for you.
Yeah, baby. Well, I guess we can discuss. Maybe we should have a recap episode once the finals played, and we can discuss
See if we've got enough material for that.
We can discuss our post World Cup careers.
yeah. What now? What's next?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you what's next: a boring T20 series against India that no one's going to watch or pay attention to, apart from 1.4 bloody billion Indian cricket fans.
yes. Well.
Yeah. Cool.
On that note, I'll see you in the kitchen.
Yeah, enjoy your tucker today, mate. Send us some photos.
Have a great schnitzel.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Okay, see you then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.